Okay, so here's where we are. Divided kingdom, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom now has disappeared. God had sent prophet after prophet up there to tell them to get their hearts right with God. They had turned their backs on Almighty God. They had started worshiping idols. And God said, hey, I need you to get serious. I need you to listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Elijah, Elisha, several other prophets came through. They wouldn't pay a bit of attention. And you know what? God did exactly what he said he would do. And he allowed the Syrians to come down and totally defeat the northern tribes. 10 tribes of Israel that formed that northern kingdom, gone. Never to be seen again. They were taken back into the Assyrian Empire and scattered out all through their empire. And so now the southern kingdom watched every bit of that happen. And you know what? Wouldn't you think they would learn? Wouldn't you think that they would say, well, we better get our act together, or that same thing is going to happen to us? No, not one time did they listen and did they learn. And so God has begun sending now his prophets into the southern kingdom. And we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Micah. They not only warned the people that judgment was coming, but they gave a future glimpse of what the coming Messiah was going to be. Last week we studied probably one of the most graphic chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, and it told all about the coming Messiah. And so today, they're still not listening. And so God's sending a new prophet to the southern kingdom named Jeremiah. You know, there was a lot of times there, I had never really studied Jeremiah. I had just heard him referred to as the weeping prophet. And I thought, weeping prophet? I mean, what's wrong with this guy that he's always crying? You know, I mean, I thought prophets were rough and tough. And man, is this guy a crybaby? Is he like some kind of spiritual wuss or something? And but then the more you begin to read, he's crying because his heart is breaking. Because God's put a message on his heart for his people there in the southern part of this kingdom. And they're not listening. They're not paying a bit of attention to this mighty prophet. Wouldn't you think that they would at least give him a little bit of thought? Why aren't they listening? For the same reason that people today don't listen. Because everything in the southern kingdom was going good. People were prosperous. Money was good. Business was good. Crops were good. You know what? I've got money. I've got the freedom. You know, we can carry on our business. And there's peace. We're not at war with anybody. And you know what? We're still going to the temple. Now, their hearts aren't right with God, right? But they think that because their circumstances are good, that everything's good between them and Almighty God. And that mistake is the exact same mistake that is prevalent here today, 2,700 years later. You know what? People today, you can go in any church. Now, I mean, this is back to school Sunday, so a lot of churches are packed to the gills. And you know what? There are people in every church that think, my life must be right with God because, I mean, look at us. We've got good jobs. We've got a nice house. Our kids are going to start school tomorrow. Praise God, right? You know, everything is going really good. I must be right with God. And on top of all that, look where I am today. I'm in God's house. I'm singing. Man, I'm loving it. Yeah. I've got to be right with God. Look at my circumstances. And that can't be farther from the truth than it was 2,700 years ago in Jeremiah's day. Because the exact same things were true then. They thought they were right with God when God says, "You are so far away from me. You've got to get your hearts right. And if you don't get your heart right with me, destruction is coming." All right? So now Jeremiah is going to paint a picture today. It's a beautiful picture, and I think it applies not only to the people of that day and time, which that's how we're going to look at everything. What did this mean to the Jews there in the southern kingdom, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin? Those are the only two tribes left. And God is sending this mighty prophet to them. What does it mean when Jeremiah talks about get your heart right? You know, I'm going to judge you if things don't change. And then here's what I want you to notice. Is there anything in this message that I need to learn? God, are you trying to tell me anything in this message? Or is this just a history lesson? And I have to tell you, I believe that the same message that he was giving to the people in Judah and Benjamin, he would give today if he were right here. So I want you to listen well. Put your defenses down. I'm not gonna be hollering and screaming. There's nothing like that. We're gonna talk about 2,700 years ago, and then I want you to look in your life today. All right, Jeremiah chapter 2 is where he's gonna begin one of his first messages to the southern kingdom. And here we go. We're going to start in verse 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord," Lord meaning Almighty God, "Thus says Almighty God, I remember you." You know, don't ever forget, God knows you by name. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He even knows the ugly. And he still knows the what? The real, real ugly. Yeah. He remembers you, the kindness of your youth. Other translations take the word kindness and use the word devotion. The love of your betrothal. And other translations says, you know what? In the beginning, you were so devoted, so committed to me. You loved me with all your heart. You loved me like a bride. Oh, man, that is so descriptive here. Keep going. "When you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown." He said, I remember you. He's talking to the children of Israel. What is he remembering? Well, he remembers back a lot of things. He remembers back in Egypt when they were slaves. He remembers when he called Moses out of that burning bush and said, "Moses, I want you to go and I want you to lead my people out of slavery into the land that I have promised Abraham. I want you to lead them into the promised land. I want you to go and confront Pharaoh, and he's not going to let the people go. And I'm going to do mighty miracles through you, but he's still not going to let you go until the last miracle. And then he's not only going to let you go, he's going to tell you to go. He's going to kick you out of the country." And that's exactly what happened. And that last miracle was the death of the firstborn. Remember that? Boy, and when there was weeping and wailing in every household because their firstborn had died, Pharaoh said, "Get out, get out, get out. If I ever see you again, I'll kill you." And so they started out on their journey. And they went through the Red Sea. They got to the to the mountain where God had called Moses, Mount Sinai. And it was on that mountain. Do you remember what happened on that mountain? Most people will say this. They'll say, well, yeah, I remember that. That's where he got the Ten Commandments. That's true. But there was so many other things that happened there. It was on that mountain where Almighty God, in the presence of all the children of Israel there, it was almost, there was a commitment that was made between the two of them, almost like a marriage ceremony where they committed themselves to each other. Oh, and he says, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And boy, it was right then and there where Israel became the bride of Almighty God. And what was the picture that he painted? He said, you loved me as a bride. Oh, remember when the people told Moses, they said, look, tell God, God, we're kind of scared of you because of the lightning and the thunder and the earthquake and everything else. But whatever you ask us to do, our answer is what? Yes. Just you tell Moses and let him tell us. And you don't speak to us because, man, we're scared. Oh, listen, we love you like a bride. And you know what? Let's kind of do some relation here. What is that similar to? When you first gave your life to Christ, you became part of the bride of Christ. You became part of His church. Do you remember how excited you were when you got saved? Can you remember back that far, some of you? Some of you, it's so fresh because it was just in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months. But do you remember how excited you were about being a believer? I mean, you just couldn't stand it. And you just started reading. You didn't know where to read. And you didn't know whether to open it right in the middle and read that book called Poslums. Or right next to it, the one called Job. You know, you didn't know one from another. And so you just started reading. You're so excited. Remember, you told your friends that I gave my life to Christ. I just got saved. Hey, you want to pray together? Hey, let's go tell this friend about Jesus. Maybe they'll give their life to Christ. Man, I can't wait for Sunday to worship. Man, I just wish I knew more ways that I could serve Him. Do you remember when you first got saved? Remember how excited you were? That's the way these people were. That's the way the children of Israel were. And God says, now wait a minute. I'm going to paint a picture for you of where you are, but I want to start with where you began. And He said, you began just like a new bride. You were so in love with me. But you know what? It didn't stay that way. It didn't stay that way for the children of Israel. Look down, pick it up in verse 4. It says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me? All right, gone far. That doesn't paint the exact picture that I think God's trying to communicate to us. Another translation uses the word stray, which I love, right? Because you can go far from the Lord real quick. But this is not quick. This is not sudden. This is very slow. This is, I mean, you know, it's just so gradual that you're really not even aware that you're moving. You really don't, you're not aware that anything's changing. It's just so slow. They have strayed far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters. You know what? They started out so excited and so in love with Almighty God. And then they started their journey through the wilderness, and life got busy, right? Because they're constantly now moving from place to place. They're having to depend on God to provide them the manna and meet all of their needs for water and everything else. You know what? They got busy. Traveling was hard. And all of a sudden, God wasn't as much of a priority as he had been. God wasn't quite as special to them as he started out being. And you know what? Before they knew it, they didn't move far. I mean, it was nothing drastic. It wasn't like they jumped off the deep end of the spectrum, but just little by little, they would make small choices and small decisions. But before they knew it, man, they had moved far from me, just like Scripture says. Go back to when you were first saved. How long did that burst of excitement last? How long was the newness there, right? And listen, for a youth pastor for 30 years, boy, it used to tick me off so bad. You would bring the kids back from a mission trip or from a retreat or from summer camp, something like that. Bunch of kids had gotten saved. A bunch of kids had gotten their hearts right with Almighty God. And you know what the adults would say? Give them a week or two. They'll be back to what they were. Well, that's a lot of encouragement, isn't it? Yeah. But you know, the sad thing is, there's a lot of truth in that. Not just for kids, but for adults too. Because you know what? When you get involved in your life and that newness is worn off and you find yourself just a little bit too busy to spend as much time reading as you did. I'm not praying near as much as I was. And you know what? Things just aren't as special as they were. I'm just kind of wrapped up in life now. I want you to see that what you went through is exactly where they are. Now we're going to keep walking through chapter 2, and we're going to, there's so many different steps we've got to pick and choose, but we're going to just pick and choose a couple of more. But I think they're going to be a clear picture of where Satan wants us to go. Because if you were so sold out to Almighty God, if you were so committed to Him, you would be an absolute threat to Satan. If people could see Christ in you that easily, boy, your friends, the people at your work, your neighbors, man, they might start wanting what you've got. Oh, really? Oh. And so there's a battle going on. This is what we call spiritual warfare. This is what we talked about several weeks ago. This is Satan's attack on you. He's got to pull you away. Can't take your salvation away from you. But if he can get your focus off of God, if he can kind of put a little bit of that fire out, and that's basically what has changed here in verses 4 and 5. Man, I'm still a believer. I'm still excited about what God's done in my life, but I'm just not on fire like I was. Right? Remember those days? I want to finish painting what he said here in chapter 2. But I want to ask you this. Are you seeing any part of your life in this? Does this look or sound familiar to you at all? Because the outcome for the people here in the southern kingdom, the people of Jerusalem that were listening to Jeremiah, they didn't pay a bit of attention. And everything that God warned them that they were going to do happened exactly like he said. And God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. God hadn't changed a bit. And I think his expectations hadn't changed a bit either. So I want you to know, if you find yourself anywhere along this line of progression that we're painting here, then I want you to know what a great, great, great day and time this is for you to call out on the name of Almighty God and get your life right. What is it about the first day of school that's so much like January the 1st? You know, when you make all your New Year's resolutions in January, well, we're going to start this, we're going to get back in this, we're going to do this. Have you ever noticed that the beginning of school is almost like the beginning of a new year? Well, it is a school year, but we make those changes. So many families, it's the beginning of school, and they say, all right, this year, this school year, we're going to do this. We're going to do better. We're going to get involved in church. We're going to be more active in church or whatever the case may be. What a great, great, great Sunday this is on back to school Sunday for you to say, God, I need that fresh start that Steve's talking about. Show me where I am in this progression. Are you just so still in love with Almighty God? Are you just on fire for Him? Have things kind of changed a little bit? Not a lot, not drastic. You hadn't fallen off the deep end, but you're just not as on fire as you used to be. You're still coming. Notice that. You're still coming. You're still involved. They were still going to the temple. They were still praying. But things just weren't quite the same as they were. Oh, you know what? They didn't do anything about it. And so I want you to look at the third step that they were taking. Jeremiah told them, skip down to verse 26. And we're going to pick up another character trait here. Verse 26 says, as the thief is ashamed, that's our key word, when he's found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed. It's used twice here. And like the word gone, where stray was a better picture of it, this word ashamed in other translations, the word they used is disgraced. They had become a disgrace to Almighty God. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, they became a disgrace. Oh, what does it mean to become a disgrace? Now, I want you to listen to this because this is going to hit real close to home, I think. They had gotten to the place where they literally had turned their backs on Almighty God. If you had to describe somebody that was a believer, but yet because of all these details, turned their back on God, how would you describe them? Wild partiers, drunks, maybe they're doing something illegal or immoral. Well, possibly. But why do you have to make them into such a bad guy? Could it be that they turned their back on Almighty God, yet they're still a nice person? They're still looked at by their neighbors as, well, that's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Huh. So I don't want you to equate being mean or being in jail with turning your back on Almighty God. But now, you know what? They're not reading their Bibles anymore. No, they're not involved. Their prayer times, they're still praying, but their prayers are, I need and I want and Lord, would you and Lord, could you and Lord, give me. Are you there? Yeah, they're not even in any sense on fire. Everything's cooled off in their walk with God. And you know what? It's just not the same. When people look at them, they don't see anybody that reminds them of Almighty God. And you know what? There's nothing in their life that reflects God. Nothing in their nature, nothing in their character, nothing in their relationships, nothing in their vocabulary. There's just no evidence that they love God at all. This is what Jeremiah is saying. God's watching where you've been and where you are, and he's fixing to tell you where you're going. All right? How about in our lives? Have you ever been through a time where something like this describes you? You ever gotten into a period of time where maybe it's somebody or maybe it's something like your job, like your activities, your vacation, your sports, your money, whatever. Maybe it's something or somebody that's become more special in your life than Almighty God, that takes up your time more than God. All that time that you used to read the scriptures, you're now spending with them, or you're doing these things. You know what? There's nothing in your life now that even remotely reflects Christ. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, but there's just no evidence. You know how we use the phrase, I want to be Jesus with skin on? I want other people to see Christ living in me. Well, that's not happening. It's been a long, long time since anybody might have come up to you and said, man, I just really admire your walk with God. Listen, I want to give you a compliment. I really see Christ living in your life. You're such an encouragement to me. Man, I want to be like you. I want to love God. I want to have a walk with God like you have. You know, when you get to this place, it's really pretty sad. Nobody's saying those things to you anymore. You're just going with the crowd. You're just following along. You're totally not the person that God created you to be. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. He's just not the focus of your life anymore. You're making decisions with no thought of whether this pleases Him. This is just what you like. And this is what you enjoy. This is what you want. And you know what? Listen to me. These people are still going to the temple. They're still praying. Does that blow your mind? Here they are. They're empty motions. They are just going through the motions of worship. There's no real heart desire that's there. They're doing their prayers out of ritual, out of habit. Their heart's not in it. Man, that love for Almighty God is gone. But yet they're still coming to worship and they're still praying. Have you ever been through a time like that? You don't want anybody to know. So you just keep coming. And you put on a smile. You show up at church. Man, things are terrible in your life. You're not walking with God, but yet you walk in church and you're just, hey, how are you guys doing? Oh, man, things are great. Thanks for asking. Boy, listen, I just can't wait for the service to start. Really? Because life now has become all a show. It's all on the outside. Nothing is real on the inside. That's where the people have gotten to. You ever been there? I don't know. You may be there now. I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. But I want you to know what Jeremiah is telling these people. I think he'd stand here and say, hey, some of you are so in love with God. Some of you, the fire has gone out. Some of you, man, listen, you're just going through the motions. And his message to you would be the same as it was to them. You need to get your heart right with God. You need to recommit your life to Almighty God if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you need to surrender your life to Christ today. Let's don't finish with this one. There's one more. In verse 35, look what the people say. Yet you say, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. That phrase literally means, surely you're not angry with me, talking about Almighty God. Behold, I will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. And you know what? If you're taking notes, this last one is kind of a surprise statement. What? Are you talking to me? Because here's what our flesh will do. Scripture uses the word flesh for our pride. And each one of us were born with our pride. That's what separated us from Almighty God, from knowing God. And your flesh, your pride, and my pride keeps patting us on the back, and they're saying, hey, listen, it's okay. You're doing good. You're a great guy. You're an incredible mom. Oh, listen, you're amazing. Don't worry about all that other stuff. God understands. He understands you've got so many kids, you don't have time to read your Bible. That's okay. Hey, he understands that you're busy at work and you can't spend the time praying that you used to. That's okay. That's all right. And you know what Jeremiah was saying? He says, you're blind. Our pride will make us blind to who we really are. And we're sitting here saying, man, I'm innocent. That picture is not a picture of me. No, no, no. Man, I'm still on fire for God. Really? Really? Or are you just blind to where you really are because of your pride? You're blind. You don't want to admit that you've walked away. Maybe you've just strayed. Nothing big. Nothing drastic, just a little step at a time. But you know what? God's now on the back burner in your life. You know what I'm saying? He's not my focus. He's not my priority. Oh, I'm still coming to church, but he's not the most important thing in my world. Oh, listen. And then you begin to just go through the motions. And you know what Jeremiah kept saying? If you don't do something about it, God's going to bring destruction on these people. And you know what? They said, ha, thanks but no thanks. I don't need what you've got. Not worried about what you're saying. I'm okay. I wonder what you're hearing inside your heart. I wonder if inside your heart this morning God's trying to speak to you and that old flesh is saying, don't listen to that. You're doing good. Great job. You're not out of line. You hadn't strayed away. You're not going through the motions. You're not saying this isn't me. You know what? It's not but just a few more years And everything that Jeremiah tells these people God's going to do happens. And it happens just like God said it would. This time it's not the Syrians. The Babylonians have become a world power. They have defeated the Syrians, and now God is allowing the Babylonians to come down and come into Jerusalem and to demolish Jerusalem, to burn the mighty temple of Almighty God. And I think it is somewhat unique. You know what day the Babylonians burned the Almighty Temple of God right there on the Temple Mount? The ninth of Av, the month of Av on the Jewish calendar. You know what that compares to? Today. Today. This is the day that the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple. How about that? Fits right in. Just like God said it would. Oh, listen, we could talk about what happened on this day. We can make a whole another two or three messages. Remember, they rebuilt the temple, right? Nehemiah brought the people back from captivity, and Ezra and Nehemiah and all that crowd that we'll talk about in about a month, they came back and they rebuilt the temple. And the Romans defeated Jerusalem in 70 AD. And what did they do? They burned the temple again. You will not believe what date on the Jewish calendar that happened. The 9th of Av. Today, on this same day, the temple was burned and destroyed twice. Oh, listen. It will always happen exactly like God says it will. You can trust His word. You can trust His word. I wonder where you are in this progression. You're at one end or the other, or somewhere in the middle. Are you on fire? Have you kind of strayed away? The fire's gone out. Still coming to church, just not as special. Just not reading as much. You've gone from reading now to where you've got this app on your phone where while you're driving to work in traffic, it reads you a Bible verse. You've kind of substituted some things. Yeah, now you're just kind of going through the motions. I come to church, but I don't really feel like God speaks to my heart, or if He is, I'm not listening, because when I leave, God's not changing my life like He used to. I want you to know, Jeremiah would tell you, you need to do something about it. You need to fall on your knees and you need to say, God, I don't know what all has changed, but I want my walk with You back to what it used to be. And I hope that there's so many people in here that have seen themselves in Jeremiah's message today, that if that's the prayer you need to pray, that's what you'll cry out to God. Here's what I really hope. Huge crowd today. There's no doubt in my mind that there are many of you who have never surrendered your life to Christ. You know what? You may have been involved in church all your life, but you've never made that life-changing surrender. He's never changed your life like He says He will when you give Him your life. And you know what? That's the greatest need you have today. Just in the privacy of your own heart, in a moment when we pray, you can say, God, I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of looking like I have a relationship to You when my heart is really empty. God, I need to give You my life. What's God trying to tell you this morning? Don't listen to your flesh. listen to the Holy Spirit. What's He trying to tell you? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that the same message Jeremiah gave the Jewish people there in Jerusalem, God, is the exact same message that You would tell us this morning. Father, He painted pictures of caution for them. And I think that's the pictures of caution that You would have us know today. Father, I pray for the believers in this room that through one reason or another have just kind of drifted away. For one reason or another, that fire has kind of gone out. For one reason or another, you're not as priority as You used to be. God, how I pray that You would break their heart this morning and draw them back to You. Open their eyes. Father, take the blinders that their flesh has put there off of their eyes and let them see their walk with You the way You see it. Father, I really pray for the people in the room who have never given their lives to You. And Father, I'm asking You that right now in the privacy of their hearts, they would be calling out to You, God, I need You to be my Savior today. God, I need to be forgiven. God, I really want You to live in my heart, beginning right this very minute. Give me a new heart. Give me a new life. Father, that's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, can we?